Good evening, everyone. I am Anand Bansal, joined by my colleague Vineet Ranjan. Thank you for joining us. We'll wait for a couple of minutes so that more people can participate and log in. Neet, we currently have 80 people. Over to you to get us started. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Anand. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining the call. Welcome to Info Edge India Limited Earnings Conference Call for Quarter 2 FY26. Joining us today from management, we have Mr. Sanjeev Bikhchandani, Founder and Vice Chairman, Mr. Hitesh Oberoi, Co-Promoter and Managing Director, and Mr. Chintan Thakkar, Director and CFO. Before we begin, I would like to draw your attention to the detailed disclaimer for good order's sake. Kindly note that this call is being recorded and all participant lines will be on mute and there will be an opportunity for question and answer towards end of the call. I will now hand over the call to Hitesh for his opening remarks. Over to Hitesh.
Very good evening to everyone and welcome to Info Edge's earnings call for the second quarter of FY26. As always, we'll begin with an update on the standalone financial performance, then cover the performance of each segment, along with our commentary on each business. And of course, we'll have time for Q&A in the end. For the standalone business in Q2 of FY26, billings were Rs. 729 crores, a YOY growth of 12%, and revenue was 746 crores, a YOY growth of 14%. Billings and revenue, including Zwayam and DoSelect, were Rs. 752 crores and Rs. 769 crores, a YOY growth of 12% and 14% respectively. Operating profits at a standalone level grew by 7% YOY to Rs. 268 crores, and the operating margin stood at 36%. Operating profits, including Zwayam and DoSelect, grew by 11% YOY to Rs. 270 crores, and the operating margin was 35%. The standalone business generated cash from operations before taxes of Rs. 293 crores in Q2 of FY26, a YOY growth of 12%. Cash from operations, including Zwayam and DoSelect, was Rs. 302 crores, a YOY growth of 14%. The cash generation from the recruitment business was Rs. 325 crores. The non-recruitment businesses at an aggregate level incurred cash losses of Rs. 6 crores in FY26, a YOY cash reduction, loss reduction of 62%. For the standalone business in H1 of FY26, billings were Rs. 1373 crores, a YOY growth of 12%. And revenue was Rs. 1482 crores, a YOY growth of 14%. Billings and revenue, including Zwayam and DoSelect, were Rs. 1416 crores and Rs. 1526 crores, a YOY growth of 12% and 15% respectively. Operating profits at a standalone level grew by 8% YOY to Rs. 518 crores, and the operating margin stood at 35%. Operating profits, including Zwayam and DoSelect, grew by 12% to Rs. 521 crores, and the operating margin was 34% in H1 of FY26. The standalone business generated cash from operations before taxes of Rs. 472 crores in H1 of FY26, a YOY growth of 8%, and cash from operations, including Zwayam and DoSelect, was Rs. 485 crores, a YOY growth of 11%. The cash balance of InfoEdge, including wholly owned subsidiaries at the end of September 2025, stood at Rs. 4,823 crores. The board has proposed an interim dividend of Rs. 2.4 per share. Headcount of the company as of September 25 end was 6238. There is an exceptional gain of Rs. 5,200 crores in Q2 of FY26 related to InfoEdge's holding in PB FinTech. Following NCLT approval for the amalgamation of MakeSense Technologies with PB FinTech, InfoEdge's 6.5% stake held through MakeSense will now be directly held by InfoEdge in the mother company. From an accounting perspective, the difference between the investment cost and fair value on the order date has been recorded as an exceptional gain in the P&L. Subsequent mark-to-market changes in PB FinTech's value will be reflected in other comprehensive income, similar to the treatment for Eternal. Now, moving on to the segmental performance and starting with the recruitment business. In Q2 of FY26, standalone recruitment billings grew by 11% to Rs. 545 crores and revenue grew by 13% to Rs. 558 crores. The operating profit for the standalone recruitment segment improved by 9% YoY to rupees 312 crores, and the operating profit margin was 56%. Zwayam and DoSelect combined were also profitable in Q2 of FY 2026, vis-a-vis loss-making in Q2 of FY 2025. The operating profit for the recruitment segment, including Zwayam and DoSelect, improved by 13% YoY, and the operating profit margin was 54%, a 20 basis point improvement year-on-year. Cash generated from the recruitment operation was rupees 325 crores, a YoY improvement of 13%. In H1 of FY 2026, the standalone recruitment billings grew by 10% to rupees 1,015 crores, and revenue grew by 14% to rupees 1,100 crores. The operating profit for the standalone recruitment segment improved by 10% YoY to rupees 596 crores, and the operating profit margin was 54%. The operating profit for the recruitment segment, including Zwayam and DoSelect, improved by 13% YoY, and the operating margin profit margins was 52%. Cash generated from recruitment operations was rupees 521 crores, a YoY growth of 9%. Key operating highlights: YoY billings growth of 11% in Q2 was slightly better than YoY growth of 9% witnessed in Q1. Billing for tech, IT, and BPM segments combined grew by 7% YoY. Other sectors combined grew at 11%. GCCs grew at 18%, and recruitment consultants grew at 9%. The recruiter and job seeker engagement metrics, such as CV searches, CV views, CV additions, modifications, traffic, etc., continued to grow well during the quarter. IIMJobs, Hirist, and Naukri Fast Forward witnessed some moderation in billings growth in Q2, as we are experimenting with different go-to-market strategies in these businesses. Naukrigulf's billings continued to grow well at 22% year-on-year. JobHai, which is currently operating primarily on a freemium model and is focused on select markets, maintains strong platform metrics and continued to generate revenue. On the job seeker front, the Naukri platform now hosts approximately 111 million resumes and added an average of 26,000 resumes daily during Q2 of FY 2026. Marketing expenses in Naukri were significantly lower in Q2 compared to Q1 and were flat on a YoY basis in Naukri. We continue to make investments in JobHai, though, as it scales up its monetization efforts. And therefore, the operating profit margins, which saw some moderation in Q1 to 53%, improved by 3.3 basis points to 56% in Q2. Excluding JobHai investments, the recruitment margins were over 58% in the second quarter. In summary, though, the hiring environment remains uncertain, as is evident from the JobSpeak Index as well. Despite this, we were able to achieve some improvement in recruitment billings. We remain cautiously optimistic about growth in the quarters ahead. Very hard to predict how the market will shape or will evolve. Moving on to the real estate segment. In Q2 of FY 2026, billings grew by 14% to rupees 122 crores, and revenue grew by 13% to rupees 115 crores. Operating losses were rupees 23 crores, whereas the business generated cash from operations of rupees 2 crores in Q2 of FY 2026. In H1 of FY 2026, billings grew by 15% to rupees 217 crores, and revenue grew by 12% to rupees 226 crores. Operating losses were rupees 42 crores, and cash losses for operations were rupees 17 crores in H1 of FY 2026. Moving on, key operating highlights of 99acres. In Q2, billings growth remained at a mid-teen level. The secondary business grew well, whereas growth in the primary business was very modest. We continue to invest in this business, and we continue to see massive gains in traffic share in Q2 as well. We've been expanding our traffic share by almost 0.5% to 1% each month for the last almost 12 months now. Our traffic share for the last 3 months has averaged between 47% to 50%, while the other two players are in the mid-20s range. Also, traffic share growth, we believe traffic share gains will ultimately translate into billing growth, but with some lag. Customers need to experience increased responses and inquiries over a period of time for them to shift more spending to the platform. Q2 billings were primarily driven by customer count growth, and broker billings continued to grow faster than developer billings. Live new project listings of the platforms grew 23% YoY, while live resale and rental listings from brokers grew 37% YoY in Q2. App and web traffic continued to grow, leading to an increase in inquiries across all categories. In fact, a very healthy increase in inquiries across all categories. With healthy traffic share, time share gain, and mid-teen billings growth in Q2, we believe we grew faster than our competitors and continue to gain market share for almost 3 or 4 quarters now. Moving over to the matrimony business, in Q2 of FY26, billings grew by 29% to rupees 34 crores, and revenue also grew by 29% to rupees 34 crores. The business maintained break-even at both the operating level and cash from operations in Q2 of FY26. In H1 of FY26, billings grew by 33% to rupees 68 crores, and revenue also grew by 29% to rupees 68 crores. The business generated an operating profit of rupees 60 lakhs and cash from operations of rupees 6 crores in H1 of FY26. In Q2, the Jeevansathi business maintained its growth momentum driven by monetization initiatives undertaken over the past 12 to 18 months. The focus remains on Hindi-speaking markets, where we continue to have a strong presence and see significant growth potential. Investments in these markets are delivering encouraging results, particularly in terms of user acquisition growth. AI is being leveraged to drive efficiencies in creative development and other related business processes, as well as to enhance both product experience and improve pricing yield. Marketing expenses have increased year on year over the last few quarters. The business intends to stay within this range while continuing to operate at or near break-even levels, subject to changes in competitive intensity. Moving on to the education vertical, Shiksha. In Q2 of FY26, billing was rupees 28 crores, a YoY growth of 13%, and revenue grew by 18% to rupees 39 crores. The business delivered an operating profit of rupees 2 crores, and cash losses from operations were rupees 8 crores in Q2 of FY26 versus rupees 11 crores in Q2 of FY25. In H1 of FY26, Shiksha billings were rupees 73 crores, a YoY growth of 10%, and revenue grew by 18% to rupees 89 crores. The business delivered an operating profit of rupees 8 crores and cash losses from operations of rupees 6 crores in H1 of FY26. The 13% billing growth in Shiksha was across both the domestic and study abroad business. Domestic private universities and colleges continue to grow and expand their course offerings. This presents an opportunity for Shiksha to further expand its footprint. Shiksha enables students to explore colleges and courses aligned with their preferences. This growing shift from Google search to AI chatbots, along with Google's rollout of AI summaries, has, however, led to a decline in traffic in Shiksha over the last couple of quarters. And this is something we continue to monitor, and we are working on strategies to mitigate this. We continue to invest more in creating comprehensive student-friendly content and building deep domain expertise in this segment. The business is strengthening its domestic counseling capabilities, driving higher conversions from client responses to student applications to help mitigate the potential impact of AI on traffic. On the AI front, our current focus on leveraging AI is centered around the following key priorities. One, enhancing search quality, user personalization, and productivity across existing platforms. Two, building new AI-powered features that improve user experience and engagement. Three, creating entirely new products and monetization levers powered by AI. And four, leveraging AI internally to improve operating efficiency, the speed of decision-making, and execution agility. In line with this, we continue to upgrade our database product in Naukri with AI and machine learning, resulting in improvements in recruiter productivity. Similarly, new AI models for job search and recommendations have driven a 15 to 25, 20% year-on-year improvement in job seeker engagement. Across our businesses, we are now using GenAI tools to create content, and some of our recent marketing campaigns are generated in-house and AI-driven. Overall, our AI initiatives are early days. Of course, we've been investing in machine learning for a long time, but early days in terms of leveraging generative AI and agentic AI, but we continue to invest in the same. Moving to consolidated financial highlights. At the consolidated level, the net sales for the company stood at rupees 805 crores in Q2 of FY26 versus rupees 701 crore for Q2 of FY25. The total comprehensive income was rupees 6,070 crores in Q2 of FY26 versus rupees 8,170 crores in Q2 of FY25. Profit before tax without exceptional items in Q2 of FY26 was rupees 404 crores compared to rupees 335 crores in Q2 of FY25. To summarize, the recruitment business remains resilient as billings growth improved slightly in Q2 Engagement on the platform remained healthy, and we continue to deepen our presence across GCCs, SMBs, tier two, tier three cities, and other non-IT sectors to broaden our customer base. Our niche and adjacent platforms, including iimjobs, Hirist, Naukrigulf, Naukri Fast Forward, DoSelect, AmbitionBox, and JobHai, are growing well and will hopefully unlock new opportunities, growth opportunities in the years to come. The non-recruitment businesses continue to grow steadily and reduce cash losses during the quarter, reflecting consistent execution and improving efficiency. In 99acres, we continue to gain market share, supported by sustained investments in marketing and platform improvements, content quality, and customer acquisition. Our efforts remain focused on further strengthening our leadership in the resale and rental and commercial and new home segments, while improving our offerings in the new launch space. In Jeevansathi, top-line growth was supported by the continued success of the freemium model, enhancements to the matching to our matching algorithms, and ongoing efforts to drive monetization. The business continued to break even in this quarter as well. Shiksha business maintained a steady growth trajectory and continued to operate profitably. Across all our platforms, we are progressing well on the deployment of AI and machine learning to improve customer experience through smart search, smarter recommendations, smarter pricing, superior creative development, and new feature rollouts. Our healthy cash flows and strong reserves remain our core strength. These enable us to invest in long-term growth initiatives, respond to competitive dynamics, and evaluate opportunities that create sustainable shareholder value. Thank you all for joining the call, and now we are happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Hitesh. We can start with the Q&A session. Anand, over to you. I guess we already have a few questions in the queue. We can maybe start.
Thank you, Vineet. So anybody who wishes to ask a question may raise your hand and we'll take one by one. We already have a few questions, so I'm going to take. So first question is from Vivekanand from Ambit. Vivek, go ahead and ask your question.
Hi, thank you very much for the opportunity. My first question is, first set of questions are on recruitment. So Hitesh, last time when you had outlined your commentary in the conference call, you said that there was some spillover of demand from 1Q into 2Q. Yet, if I look at the first half billing growth, it has moderated to around 10%, down from 15% in FY25. I know you mentioned about being cautiously optimistic. Could you elaborate on this outlook and also the drivers here? That's question one. I'll ask more after this answer.
Yeah, like, you know, it's a very modest hiring market, and also things are continue to be unpredictable. It's very hard and uncertain, very hard to say how things will change, will evolve going forward. Clearly, it's not a market where it's not a hot market, and it's not a market where companies are hiring like they used to hire maybe 3 years ago or 2 years ago. And so our sense of the situation on the ground right now is that you know, we have to fight for all our renewals. We have to fight for upgrades. We have to fight for sales. We have to fight. We're trying very hard to acquire new customers, but new customers, you know, start small. They don't start. We have a diversified portfolio now. We are trying to get customers to sample new products, which we've launched over the last few years. So it's not easy to take prices up in this market, right? So if the market continues to be tough, recruitment consultants are of course impacted the most because they're the first ones to get hit in a tough market. IT companies continue to remain cautious, you know, about hiring. The non-IT market has been growing at most in non-IT sectors have been growing at between 10 and 15% for us. So it's very hard to say what will happen going forward. Of course, if GDP growth starts to look up, or you know, if the world economy starts to do better, or if things settle down between the US and India, I don't know if this whole uncertainty sort of, if things start to stabilize a little more and they become more predictable, then it's easier for companies to make investment plans. You know, so I hope that happens going forward.
Okay, thanks. The second question is on your diversification efforts in recruitment. Now, you were providing some data on the Naukri India contribution to total recruitment billing. Any broad color that you can provide and how to think about it over the next 3 years? And related point is the recent recruitment organizational changes that you did. How do you think this will impact the diversification thrust that you've been leading?
Let me give you a sense of how we are thinking about the market going forward. There's the, like you said, there's a core Naukri India B2B hiring business, which is the bulk of our revenue. Maybe, I don't know if they have the exact number on me right now, but maybe let's say it's 80% of our revenue, or 75% of our revenue. Now, that is really the mass hiring market. And that is the one which is, which is under pressure right now, because this is the IT hiring market, this is the call center market, this is the market for hiring people between 2 to 8, 10, 12 years of experience. So this market is slow right now. We are seeing, as we're seeing a few trends emerging, and we believe that going forward, at least there's a lot of noise, there's a lot of talk about companies wanting to use AI as a co-pilot for hiring. A lot of companies want real-time intelligence and data to take better decisions on salaries and hiring and for talent planning. We're also seeing a slight increase in demand for premium professionals, meaning people who are paid well. They seem to be more, and who are more qualified and have the right skills, seem to be more in demand than earlier. In fact, the average salary of a person whose CV is viewed on Naukri has almost doubled over the last 5 or 6 years, right? So we think premium talent will be in more demand going forward. At the same time, we also see demand for blue collar and gray collar workers growing over time, right? And that's why the investments in iimjobs and Hirist, which are our premium tech and premium MBA hiring platforms, and the investment in JobHai, which is our blue collar and gray collar hiring platform. The international business is a small business for us. Naukri Gulf continues to grow at 20%. It's been growing at 20% for 2, 3 years now, and is now very profitable. The candidate service business has also been growing at 15, 17, 18% for the last few years now and continues to be very profitable. So this is how we are thinking about how we think about the market and where it's going to go in the years to come. And this is why we have also restructured, because we think increasingly the growth in core Naukri, the mass hiring, bulk hiring platform will be AI-led. And our chief AI officer has also taken over as chief product officer for Naukri for that reason. Similarly, like I said, at JobHai, we started investing in a few years ago. We've now started monetizing it. We think the blue collar market is a few years away, but it can become a large market over the next 5, 7, 8 years if we execute well. Demand at this end is for people is also growing, and they're all becoming net savvy. They're all on online platforms and so on. We also like and so we've had that, so that business run like a separate unit, business unit. We also see demand for premium talent growing over time. So while we are doing we're doing whatever we can in Naukri to attract premium talent, but we are also investing in our iimjobs and Hirist platforms, and these platforms have really grown over the last 2, 3 years. And we've moved our Naukri product head to run these platforms. So both iimjobs and Hirist will now be run by Nimish going forward, along with Naukri Gulf. We see Naukri Gulf also continuing to grow. So that's the reason. So because we see, so we're saying, Naukri core more AI-led, run by product to be run by the AI person to make it easier. iimjobs and Hirist focus more because premium hiring will look up going forward, and we put a senior person in charge. We've no JobHai blue collar platform will continue to grow, run like a separate business. We're investing in it, And of course, the consumer business. So we also see an opportunity in the consumer business. That business has grown to become, 150, 170 crores for us over time. Has been growing at 18, 20%, makes up 50% margin. So perhaps that can grow faster if you focus on it. We haven't really focused on it much till now. And so we've put Shell in charge of that business as well, in addition to running the Naukri 360 and marketing for us. So that's been the thinking behind the restructuring.
Okay, this is very helpful. My last question is your quick comments on the non-recruitment businesses and the roadmap to profitability there at an aggregate level. What are the timelines that
Let's
you're
go
thinking
business by
about
business.
now?
99acres. See, 99acres, we are very happy with the progress we've made in terms of growing supply on the platform, in terms of growing our traffic share. Our traffic share a year ago was maybe 36, 37%. We now think it's around 48, 49%. In the month of September, we touched 50% as well. So we've not seen this kind of traffic share gain, in our real estate business in a long time. Now, hopefully, revenue growth will follow, maybe with a lag of 2, 3, 4 quarters, but it should happen. It should follow. And we've seen growth in all segments. We've seen growth in the new home business in terms of traffic. We are seeing growth in the new home segment. We are seeing growth in resale. We're seeing growth in rental. We are seeing growth in commercial. Inquiries on the platform are up substantially year on year, right? We are not able to monetize our growth right now, and that's why you still see some burn. But we've gained substantial traffic share, and the number of responses, the number of inquiries we generate, the supply on the platform, everything is like up substantially year on year. When will 99acres get to profitability? A lot will depend on, of course, how much we want to keep investing to gain share, number one. And number two, a lot will also depend on when revenue growth actually moves up. We've been in the mid-teens for a while now. We need to get to the 20-25% level, and we need to stay there for several years. And if we are able to do that, then we have high operating leverage in this in these platform businesses, as you know. Jeevansathi continues to execute really well. I don't think the market is growing at more than 10-11%. We are growing at 30%. We are breaking even. We are gaining share. And we are hoping that we can continue to sort of maintain this growth going forward as well. Let's see how this plays out. Again, we are not focused on profitability. We want to grow and gain share in Jeevansathi. Shiksha, has been, profitable, has been a profitable operation, but Shiksha as a business, I'm worried about a little because of the changes. A lot of the traffic in Shiksha is SEO traffic. And because of the changes you're seeing in search, platforms like Google, et cetera, have started answering questions directly. And there's an AI overview and so many other things are changing in search. Traffic on Shiksha has actually, or to Shiksha has fallen, right? So we've seen a degrowth in terms of people ultimately ending up on Shiksha, right, from Google and other platforms. Now we're working on strategies to mitigate this decline in traffic, and we're but it could take a few quarters before we figure things out. So growth, I hope, now on the other hand, pricing is looking up in this segment because most clients get their responses from Google, inquiries from Google, and but let's see how this plays out overall. So Shiksha is a little very hard to predict what's going to happen, but we maybe will have a better answer for you three quarters from now in that business. Job Hai, we continue to invest. I think the Job Hai business is burning about maybe 40 crores a year, if I'm not mistaken. But we've started monetizing now. So last year, I think we did about 5 crores. This year, we'll do at least, we'll try and do grow that business, this business, 15, 17 crores. Let's see where we end up. And then let's see where we go from there.
Right. This is great. Last follow-up is on 99acres and the point you made on traffic. Is the traffic only genuine, or is there also the AI-led, Gen AI-led crawling traffic also? Is traffic a very reliable indicator of revenue market share going forward in this business?
Just traffic is not a very reliable indicator, because you can get all kinds of traffic, like you said. So you need to invest in getting quality traffic, right? You need to invest in getting traffic which converts into inquiries, into leads, ultimately into transactions for clients. Ultimately, your revenue is going to be a function of the number of successful transactions you enable through your platform. And which is why I also mentioned that the inquiries we're generating for our customers through Shiksha or through 99acres are up substantially year on year. Now, but it takes time to monetize. But as long as we are happy, as long as our traffic share is growing, relevant traffic share, as long as our inquiries are growing, as long as we are enabling more transactions with the platform, and hopefully, we'll get rewarded for it at some point in time.
Great. Thanks, Hitesh, for the detailed answers.
Thanks, Vivek. The next question from Vijit Jain from Citi. Vijit, go ahead and ask your question. Vijit, you are there? So we'll take the next question, actually. So next question is from Sachin from Bank of America. Sachin, go ahead and ask your question.
Thank you for the opportunity. I have three questions. First question, I know Hitesh, it's early days, but this entire H-1B issue, on the back of it, we are seeing media articles that certain GCCs are looking to expand their presence in India. Basis your interactions with most GCCs, do you see this as an opportunity where they could look to hire a bit more in India, and in that process, platforms like yours benefit on the back of it?
Well, I hope that happens. The GCC business has been growing at 17-18% for us for the last couple of quarters. There are a lot of GCCs in India are the bigger ones, employ, a lot of companies have 30% of their global workforce operating out of India, right? So there are lots of GCCs who already operate at that level where they have 30% of all their global workforce operating out of India, with maybe 60% in tech, maybe 25% in other functions, but that's how big they are, right? There are some 1700 odd GCCs. I'm sure not all of them are operating at 30% of their workforce, in India, right, at that level. So there's substantial, I think, room for growth there, both with existing GCCs, and hopefully new GCCs will also set up shop over time. So that continues to be a big opportunity for India. I think these GCCs today employ around 1.7 million people or so. And the jobs also tend to be slightly higher quality. And they have also over time moved up the value chain. So you are seeing, a lot of high-end jobs also move to India now, which was perhaps not the case earlier. Earlier, most GCCs or back offices used to be about just hiring IT workers and call center employees. That's not the case anymore. Now, will this H-1B issue lead to more hiring in GCCs? I don't know, because things keep changing every few weeks, right? So a lot of clarifications have been issued by the US government. I don't know. I don't know whether this will have an impact on more jobs getting created in India. But India is really, if you ask anybody outside, they'll tell you India is the only country outside the US and China where you can get high quality talent at scale, right? And that's really our advantage. And any company which wants to hire high quality, it's cost arbitrage is just one part of the story. But if you want to hire a lot of high quality people, especially in high end roles, the only place other than the US and China where you can get them in large numbers and cheap is India.
Got it. Very clear. Second question is, how does management look at marketing spends? And this question is because in the past, you guys had mentioned that if the billings growth continues to be a bit soft, and given the fact that you guys are competitively better positioned, as compared to peers, why not take this as an opportunity to spend a bit more in terms of, you know, pushing for market share growth? Should that how we be looking at the company directly? That if growth on billings is a bit soft, you guys could spend a bit more on marketing, or you know how to think about it?
Spend money on marketing because billings growth is soft. We are spending on marketing because it makes in some verticals we are spending a lot more than we were spending earlier. Like I mentioned 99acres, I mentioned Jeevan Sathi job hai, because we see an opportunity to gain market share, right?
And yeah, yeah. So more on those lines, opportunity to gain market share.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
In
and
a softer
of course
market.
The marketing has to work for us, right? It has to.
Yeah.
You know, we have some models which we use internally to understand whether the marketing is working for us or not. And as long as the marketing investments continue to work for us, and we continue to gain share, it just makes sense to keep investing in marketing, and we will continue to do that. We are perhaps in spending more on marketing than our competitors now in 99acres and not in Jeevan Sathi because in Jeevan Sathi we're only in the northern part of the country. So in that geography, we are spending enough. Even in Job Hai now, we have upped our marketing spend. In Naukri, we are spending a little more, for example, in Naukri Gulf, we are spending a little more on Hirist because these are growing businesses. Core Naukri, we are not spending as much. We don't think we need to spend a lot because we're getting the CVs we need anyway. It's a tight market. Right, it's not easy to get jobs. So on the other hand, if the market starts to change or if competition becomes or starts investing a lot more, then perhaps we'll be forced to respond. But till then, I think we are fine.
Got it. And last question, just wanted to understand directly how should we look at realizations in context of you guys looking to penetrate a bit deeper into tier two, tier three. Because it's very evident that, you know, as and how you go into tier two, tier three, the average real, there's a bit of a pressure on average realization. Is that something we need to be mindful about as you expand more into tier two, tier three?
Yeah, see, every time, you know, I see new business development requires investment, and most companies who start fresh with us start small. We are already in many of these cities. So we've already opened offices in 70, 80, 90 cities. We've already hired people. It's not as if we are going to be hiring more people and investing a lot more than we were investing earlier in tier two cities or tier three cities now, because we made those investments in marketing to get CVs. We've opened these offices already. We've already hired the salespeople on the ground. But yes, the ARPU, the customer ARPU in tier two and tier three will be much lower than the ARPUs you get in Bangalore and Bombay and Delhi.
Got it. Very clear. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you, Sachin. Next question is from Vijit from Citibank. Vijit, go ahead and ask your question.
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yeah, Vijit, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. And apologies for earlier. My first question, Hitesh, so you talked a little bit about, you know, this, AI-led approaches in, Naukri. I wanted to double-click on that. So first, is that referring to, you know, how the ResDex database will be used in the future? It'll be more, qualitative queries and search prompts that people will enter, and that's what you're looking at? Or is there more in terms of how you're rethinking the product on the Naukri side? That's my first question. When you talk about, you know, AI-led products.
Yeah, so there are, you know, many types of AI, you know, and see, we've been investing in machine learning for several years now. And most of the gains we've seen till now have been on account of the investments we made in machine learning, which we started investing in maybe 7-8 years ago, right? So whether it's search quality, whether it's quality of recommendations, whether it's personalization, all this is data science plus machine learning, you know, feedback loop led, right? And these gains have mostly materialized already, you know, in Jeevan Sathi and in Naukri. Now, of course, we are also, trying to reimagine experiences and using generative AI and other tools which have now become available to us, right, over the last few years. And just because we're investing more, we're just thinking about how more we can sort of use AI to improve and enhance the experience. So one of the things, for example, we are working on is you mentioned RESTEC. So earlier, you know, how it worked is that companies would recruiters would log into RESTEC and they would search basis some query and or some JD they had in mind, and then you know they would contact shortlist candidates, and then they would call them on the phone one by one, and then you know, and then if calls are not answered, they would call again, and so on and so forth. So one of the things we are experimenting with is like a recruitment co-pilot in that sense, where you actually get AI to do all this for you, right? So the AI understands what you're looking for. So you know, it shows you a few profiles. And you tell the AI whether those profiles are the type of profiles you're looking for. And then the AI takes over, it searches the database, it contacts job seekers, it phones them, it asks them a few questions if you want a few questions to be asked, and then finally gives you a list of candidates which you can maybe interview. So now, but these are pilots. Some are in commercial beta with some customers. Of course, you get feedback from customers, you iterate, you go back to them. So early days, but we are already expect you know pilot you know these are already in commercial beta with some customers, and of course then the revenue model also has to be figured out. So many things to be done still, right?
Right.
So and then of course you have some generative AI enabled features, like you know if you're posting a job on the platform, generative AI can help you post a better JD. You know, it can help you do it faster. There are reviews in on Ambition Box or on Shiksha. You know, you can use generative AI to summarize those reviews for the user. So a lot of experience enhancements using generative AI are possible. People want to write, you know, we are helping people prepare for interviews using generative AI, right? Mock interviews through generative. All these things have become possible, which were not possible earlier. So we are experimenting with a bunch of such things in and then of course there's this whole there are lots of AI tools that are now available to us. So let's take marketing, for example. You know, we run ads, for example, on Instagram, on Facebook, and on Google. Previously, we would, you know, experiment with a few creatives and take them live. And then, you know, it used to take a lot of effort and time and effort to make new creatives. Now you can use Gen AI tools to create new creatives on the fly. You can create thousands of them very quickly and experiment with them. So we're also trying to use these AI tools. I mean, some coders are experimenting with AI tools to see if they can code faster and become more efficient at coding. So then that's a separate suite, you know, using external AI tools to become more efficient and smarter at what we do across all functions, not just in product or, you know, engineering.
In the August.
Yeah.
Got it. Thanks, Hitesh. So Hitesh, it's safe to say that in those product changes and those product pilots that you're running, the monetization or how customers would pay for it has to be different from what is the norm now, right? You would have to charge differently, charge possibly higher.
Yeah, it has to be figured out, right? It has to be, you know, so we have gone to something, but like we're
Right.
experimenting with something right now as we speak, but it could change going forward. Based on the feedback we
Right.
get.
My second, no, understood. My second question was, on the property segment now. I mean, obviously you're seeing, we can see that you're seeing a lot of market share gains here. Do you think this is, moving into that direction where, some kind of a consolidation move is likely? We've seen some of that in the industry, in other spaces in the industry recently. And from your point of view, if you assess some kind of an opportunity, obviously a consolidation move has an impact on the category as well, right, in terms of pricing, in terms of many other things. Would that be a part of how you would assess an opportunity should that arise? Of consolidation in property.
We are open, I mean, to consolidation in both matrimony and real estate, and we've said that for a while. So if the right opportunity arises at the right price, you know, for the right kind of company, we're more than happy to acquire.
I guess, Hitesh, my question was also, because it can help improve the profitability of the entire segment. Would that have a role to play in your fair value assessment?
No, yes, of course. I mean, you're right. If acquisition leads to higher market share, higher traffic share, and ultimately better pricing, that will. I mean, we'll keep that in mind while evaluating whichever company we look to acquire.
Got it. And my last question, I think you covered some bit of in the previous question from Sachin, but just this, the GCC's bit, we've had a few announcements from US recently, and I've seen a few news articles suggesting that, after the H-1B announcements, there's been, another push, at least in some pockets, on, shifting some work to India. Have you seen that in your client base? Is GCC seeing another leg up just simply because of all of these developments?
See, hard to say. Because there are already 1,700 GCCs, so maybe a few get added every a few new open ones open every month. Has that number changed over the last 3 months? I don't know. Actually, we don't track that. There's a lot of and see what our GCC business has been growing at 17-18% over the last 2-3 quarters, right? Now the bigger ones, think differently from the smaller ones. If a GCC already has 20,000 people on the ground, there it's unlikely that they will add a lot of new people in a hurry, right? If 30% of their workforce is already in India, what happens to their global business impacts the India business or India operation also, right? On the other hand, most GCCs, when they start in India, they start small. They don't start with 20,000 people or 10,000 people. They start with a few hundred people or a few tens of people, and they scale up over time. Right, so I think that will continue because GCCs which have set up shop in India over the last 2-3 years, where their India headcount is still maybe 2-7% of their global headcount, I think there's going to be room for them to grow, continue to grow for several years, and I think that will continue. Will we start seeing new GCCs in India or many more companies setting up shop because of this H-1B issue? I don't know. Hard for me to say. Yeah.
No, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate your comments. Those were my questions.
Thanks, Vijit. Next question is from Deep Shah from BK Securities. Deep, go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Hi, team. So the first question is on Shiksha. So you did mention that because the search is shifting to, say, AI or even Gemini, the number of hits on the websites are coming down. Now, Hitesh, what is your take on this? I mean, we had ideally believed that verticals would largely remain immune to this because of the granularity of information that is available on these websites. So maybe search still will start on ChatGPT or any such AI platform, but eventually move to a vertical for the detailed information available. So is there some error in that understanding? Are you seeing maybe people who are coming on the website spending more time than before, something like that? Because otherwise, this has the potential to disrupt any vertical, right? So your comments on that, maybe even all the comments would be useful. Second.
I think there's a bigger problem where the content is static and not very dynamic. For example, on 99acres and on Naukri, content is very dynamic. The listings change every day, the jobs change every day, etc. And all the details are available, and people want to go into the details. People want to, they can only apply on our platform and so on. But Shiksha is a little different because it's a content-led platform. A lot of the content is static, does not change every day. A lot of publishers, globally, have seen traffic fall. The traffic they were getting from Google fall. Now the people who want to go, who are very serious users, who want to go into more detail, etc. They of course still put in the effort. I mean, you must may have seen your own behavior. Like, if you want to answer to a question very quickly, previously maybe you would have visited. Let's take health platforms. You would have gone to a Mayo Clinic website or some other website, but today, if you get an answer from the AI engine, or from the AI overview, you don't necessarily sort of always end up visiting these platforms. I think that's what Shiksha is seeing. Of course, we are working on strategies to mitigate this. It is something which has happened in the last few quarters. It's impacting, of course, every platform in education, all the other sort of players in this space as well. And I'm sure this has impacted all other publishers too, of content. So it's a real change in behavior.
Oh, yeah, you're right. In the sense, even our behavior has changed. So that's fair. And Hitesh, so say for example, if the nature of search changes the way we interact with horizontal, right, search platforms, how difficult it is to, you know, have an internal system within Shiksha that instead of me searching for colleges the traditional way, I can simply enter my query and then the results pop up the way it pops up for say, an ChatGPT kind of platform. How easy or difficult is that to create? Again, this would be applicable for all verticals.
See, the problem is the top of the funnel. You see, once a person lands on Shiksha, there's no problem. We can engage him even more than we were engaging him earlier, right? But if fewer people end up on your platform, because see, a lot of our traffic comes from the people who are searching on Google. And previously, what used to happen is that when you would search on Google, Google would show you a few links. And basis your query, you would end up on Shiksha or on some other platform. Google would not answer the question for you, right? Now that has changed. So for the number of people who end up on a content platform like Shiksha, right, have fallen. There are still many who are coming, right? And there are many who come directly as well. But the total number of, so at the top of the funnel, you're getting fewer people. Of course, the ones you're getting are perhaps more serious and you can engage them a lot more than earlier. But there is a problem at the top of the funnel, which has to be fixed.
Understood. No, this is very helpful to understand this vertical horizontal fight. Second is more straightforward. So we have not seen any change in the composition of revenue of 99acres, builders, brokers, etc. And we are seeing a number of paid listings grow very rapidly last two quarters. So I hear your comments on delayed monetization, but is there some change in pricing as such? Because number of paid listings have grown rapidly in last two quarters. Billings have not. So if you could just help us understand. And it's not that as if owner profiles are more versus brokers and therefore maybe ARPU or listing or whatever that metric is could come down. So if you just help us understand this.
Yeah, see, we've made a lot of changes to our sort of marketing mix. We've changed pricing in a few markets. We have increased our focus on user customer acquisition. We have changed our marketing mix. So with the overall objective of growing our traffic share and growing our market share and delivering more value to our customers. Now, listings have grown because, maybe they're cheaper in some markets than they were earlier. Two, because we've acquired a lot of new customers on the ground and they're posting listings. Three, there's generally more competition amongst brokers to get more responses, right? So sometimes that also impacts. It's a good market. I think it's a combination of various things which have led to what you're seeing.
Anand, you're on mute.
Thanks, Deep. And next question from Nikhil from Nuvama. Nikhil, go ahead and ask your question.
Thanks for the opportunity. Hitesh, very strong growth in GCC, but partially it looks like the base was also relatively softer. So sequentially, GCC actually grew lower than the company growth. So was there any seasonality because you only recently started disclosing this particular segment, or actually you saw some slowdown on sequential basis?
No, so see, not much has changed in the, you know, on the ground. I would not read too much into these quarterly numbers. Growth can change basis a couple of customers renewing or not renewing or upgrading or not upgrading. I think perhaps we should look at all these segment-wise numbers on an annual basis more than on a quarterly basis. You know, that may be a better indicator of what's happening than just quarterly numbers.
Got it, Hitesh. Second, on AI, multiple sub-question here. So first on, you know, how prepared we are for the, you know, new set of product. We have recently, and you must have recently heard the Mercore AI raising big bang funding. They are launching more product. So do you think our product pipeline capability and investment is completely on track, or do you think we need to accelerate, especially competing this AI first company? Second, you did highlight it earlier that, you know, AI investment monetization will happen much more quicker, and some of the product we have launched recently. So where we are in this monetization journey? And last one, globally, we are seeing this phenomenon, Hitesh, which you also called out, that senior hiring or, you know, are increasing in the AI first world, while juniors is actually going down. So do you plan to at least pilot new product, new capability where you can monetize this opportunity? Because, I mean, it's not one-to-one, right? I mean, when the salary double, ultimately, you are contributing more to your clients. So any plan? So three questions within AI.
See, like I mentioned, see, we are making different types of AI investments. Core machine learning investments we've been making for several years now, and I think we are maybe as good as anybody else out there. You know, we have a very large team, and we've done a lot of good work over the years. We have data nobody else has, right? And our algorithms have improved substantially, you know, whether it's our search engine or our recommendation engines or our alerts or our personalization, you know, on the platform. And we've seen gains, you know, because we track these numbers, we've seen a 15 to 20% kicker over time in Jeevan Sathi and in Naukri, both, right? So on machine learning, I think we are as good as perhaps anybody else out there. And we have the advantage of having data nobody else has, right? Which is important ingredient for these algorithms to work. As far as generative AI is concerned, you know, this, you know, there, you know, it's, you know, we are experimenting with an agentic AI. You know, we are experimenting with a bunch of things, like I said, and it's early days there. You know, it's, I can't say, listen, we are very successful and we've understood it fully and we've cracked the market. We've launched some data-based offerings. They have been received well in the market. We've launched AI Rex, which is our AI, like an AI co-pilot. Think of it like as an AI co-pilot. Early days, we are experimenting. We are piloting it with a few customers, some commercial beta, getting feedback, making changes, going back to them. Everybody talks about it, but it's not an easy sale because, you know, companies also need to be ready to implement it, right, at their end. So they also need to sort of, you know, change their business processes if they want to use some of these tools. So early days on that front, would I say that we are the best in the world, we are doing as well as others? I don't know, because it's a new space, right? Even others are all, there are other products also out there in the market. They're also experimenting and they're also piloting a lot of new features every day. Then lastly, you know, AI to just become better at what we do across all functions, AI to become more efficient, AI for improving our pricing, realization in Jeevan Sathi, for example, AI to improve our ROI and marketing. You know, we are doing whatever we can, you know, to just become efficient and faster at what we do, right? So that I think we are perhaps as good as almost anybody else, at least in some areas, right? We've done a lot of good work in marketing and content. We're using AI for telecalling, right? To qualify leads in some businesses, and it's working out well. So are we the best in the world? Are we as good as others? I don't know. But are we in a much better place than we were 5 years ago? Definitely. Have we managed to put a team together, good team together? Absolutely. Have we been able to roll out new features and functionalities? Yes. Have we launched new products? Yes. Have we improved our algorithms substantially? Are we using AI in all parts of the company? In many parts of the company? Yes. Tools, right? So I would say at least in India, we're doing better than most companies. I don't know what's happening in the US. So that maybe answers your first question. What was the second question? Sorry.
On AI monetization.
Monetization is, see, the changes, like the algorithmic changes, right? Somewhere, we're not monetizing them directly, but if more matches happen through us, ultimately, we can charge higher prices, we get higher renewals, all that happens. So we don't charge for it directly, but because it impacts the user experience and it impacts customer experience, somewhere it'll show up in our pricing at some point in time. So we are able to monetize indirectly. A lot of the features we've launched using AI are free. I mean, they're just, again, to improve the user experience on our platform. The new products we have launched, the data products, for example, we are monetizing. The AI offerings which are running as a which we've launched as co-pilots, early days. We've testing them out. There is a commercial beta going on with some customers, but early days.
Last one was on senior hire and
Senior
different
hire.
sizes.
So, so see two things. One, like I said, on Naukri, the average CTC of a CV being viewed on Naukri is almost doubled over the last 5, 6 years, right? Now, somewhere, this should show up in pricing, right? We did increase our prices substantially post-COVID, when there was a surge in hiring, But with pricing, the way it works is it's easier to take prices up in a good market, hard to take them up in a lukewarm market. And the market right now is lukewarm. So we haven't seen any pricing growth. I think.
We are checking. Tejas got offline. We'll come back to stay put.
Hitesh is just dialing back on.
Hitesh will be back soon.
Yeah, I'm sorry, my computer restarted for some reason, so I'm now logged in through my phone. So, am I audible, Vineet? Huh.
Yeah, audio.
Okay, yeah. So, sorry, I'm lost.
You were talking about premium
Yeah,
optimization.
premium. So premium, so one is of the CV CTCs, have increased in Naukri. And we should be able to realize higher value from our customers through pricing at some point in time. Easier to take up pricing in a hot market, difficult to take it up in a lukewarm market. So that's one. Second, we are pushing our premium hiring platforms like iimjobs and Hirist, right? iimjobs is a premium MBA hiring platform. Hirist is being developed as a premium tech hiring platform. And we are seeing jobs are increasing on these platforms. We are adding more customers. So twin strategy on this front for us.
Got it, Hitesh. But
Yeah.
just one point here. While I agree there is a strategy of through Hirist, let's say, for senior hires, but also some of the job or candidate just come on Naukri, right? Rather than going to Hirist. So it's also have to do with the fact that where the candidates are coming. While at overall level, I agree with you, the hiring is slow, but there are micro segments where hiring is like phenomenal, right? So
Yes.
why don't we want to monetize that? And that's what look like that will continue, right? I mean, that's why I'm emphasizing on this question.
No, we are monetizing. So premium hiring on the Naukri platform is also growing, right? And there are enough companies who hire senior talent and mid-management talent and premium tech talent and premium MBA talent from Naukri. All I'm saying is, see, there traditionally our share has been low, right? Vis-a-vis the LinkedIn. So in addition to Naukri, we are also developing iimjobs and Hirist as premium hiring platforms so that we can increase our share in this segment.
The other thing to remember is that look, on the base that is Naukri is, if you get a couple of extra niches, the revenue you get does not move the needle in the short run. So therefore, it doesn't show up in much, much higher growth in the short run.
Got it, Sanjeev. So, last question, Sanjeev, for you. I have noticed you. I think there are a few investment on AI first company by InfoEdge. So, are we seeing enough opportunity? Is the ecosystem is large enough? And are we seeing the similar chase money is chasing few startup in the AI ecosystem the way we are seeing globally?
So, look, almost every startup now that we meet has got an element of AI in it. Some are AI first, but all of them are AI enabled. And they've got an element of AI. So it's very difficult to find a startup in the tech space that does not have some AI in it. And even if they don't, at least they claim it. Okay. And you know, you've got to be discerning and figure out what's going to work, what does not going to work, and what is a false claim, what's a true claim, and then go behind it. So the options are tremendous. I mean, the number of startups that you're seeing right now is only increasing. And we've got a team of 18 people. And it's just seeing lots and lots and lots of startups.
Got it, Sanjeev. Thanks a lot, Sanjeev, and good luck for coming quarter. Thank you.
Thanks, Nikhil. Next question from Swapnil from JM Financial. Swapnil, go ahead and ask your question.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. The first question is for Hitesh. So Hitesh, we are already halfway through the quarter, and our JobSpeak index numbers were not that great in October, at least. How should we see this quarter panning out in terms of billings growth? Because again, December is generally a holiday season, and that's where hiring stops. So, I mean, any sense on that side?
Yeah, see, October and November, I normally don't go by what, you know, but what because, you know, the festival season shifts every year, right? So this year, Diwali was earlier. Well, last year, Diwali was around October end. This year, it was maybe 10 days earlier. So in this quarter, and in general, you know, our sales are lumpy. So we get most of our sales in the last month of the quarter, right? So very hard for me to say how this quarter is going to pan out and what the numbers will look like. Has anything changed on the ground between September and October or November? No. We are not seeing any major change on the ground. I mean, or, you know, it's like it was now. But you know, I can't really go by what we are seeing in October and November because of the change in the festival season every year.
Okay, got it. The second question is with respect to the breakup that you used to give in terms of growth rates for IIM Jobs, Naukri Fast Forward and Gulf. You mentioned about Naukri Gulf growing, if I'm not wrong, 22% this quarter. But what about the other businesses? What were the growth rates in that business?
Yeah, see, we saw moderation growth rate because we are experimenting with different go-to-market strategies, right? So whether we should be bundling IIM Jobs and high-risk Naukri or selling standalone, you know, so stuff like that we are experimenting with. So this quarter we saw growth slowing down in IIM Jobs and high-risk vis-a-vis the growth we reported earlier, but that was perhaps because of the experiments we're doing more than anything else.
Okay, got it. And the third win is with respect to the simplification that you've done in the PB FinTech ownership. Now, generally, such kind of changes are a precursor to something next happening. So, is there any thing that we could we can foresee towards stake sale in the company
that sort? You should not read anything into it. This was a merger that's been planned for several years now. It does take time to do a merger, and so it was actually planned before the 3-4 years before the IPO. It didn't happen for various reasons. Then the IPO happened, then we reapplied. So it's just procedural and it happened now and not earlier.
Yeah. I think they got more than 4 to 5 years to kind of complete this in the court. So it's nothing planned. Should not read too much into it.
Got it, Chintan and Sanju. Thanks a lot for taking it. Thanks, guys. And those were my questions. All the best.
Thanks, Apneel. Next question from Prateek from HSBC Securities. Prateek, go ahead and ask your question.
Hi, team. Thank you for the opportunity. So, Hitesh, I just have one question. So, and that is relating to the comments that you made earlier on the org restructuring that you've done in recruitment. So, I just wanted to check on if there has been any change in your view of the midterm and long-term growth prospects of the core Naukri that you said. like apart from the premium talent and blue collar hiring? So core Naukri, has there been any changes in your view which has led this org restructuring?
See, we continue to believe that core Naukri growth is going to be a function of one, Indian economic growth and the resultant job creation as a result of that. Two, you know, it's because a lot of our revenue comes from IT hiring, it's going to be a function of what happens to IT companies and their hiring, which now depends on global GDP growth. It depends on what happens because of AI, right? What we are doing as far as at our end is to see if we can expand, grow the TAM for ourselves, right? So if you are able to get a small, you know, so far Naukri has been used mostly for sourcing. Core Naukri has been used mostly for sourcing candidates. Now, if you can also, you know, help recruiters do their job more efficiently and do their job faster, and if you can help them hire more candidates to Naukri than they were hiring earlier because of our better matching engine, better algorithms, etc., then that expands the one that helps us grow our market share in the hiring that happens already, and two, it helps expand our TAM as well. So now, what Naukri, and of course, lastly, there's pricing growth, which, like I said, is also often a function of you know, what happens to whether the market is hot. It's easier to take a price in a hot market, let me put it this way. And then they stay there for a while. So if the velocity of hiring grows, then you know it's easier to just easier to command a higher price. So that has I mean, so that model, you know, that's not changed. Now, if growth GDP growth slows down, or if something happens to IT companies, or then of course growth could slow down. On the other hand, if we are able to successfully roll out new products, if we are able to get more hiring to happen through Naukri because of our superior algorithms, if we are then of course growth could look up.
Thanks, Hitesh. Also, just to check on, so again, the CTO involvement in the business, the products that you're talking about, do you think that there could be a case where the recruiters could also in the curve with the evolving nature of the tech that's coming about, right? Do you see any kind of risks also that the recruiters are able to better utilize your platform, the other LinkedIn platform, right? And where that also hinders your proposition to take a pricing?
There's, of course, see, there's I'm sure there are enough startups trying to do things, to do new things, and we've been through this before also. You see, right now, as things stand today, my understanding of the market is that you know, most companies end up hiring through online platforms like ours and LinkedIn, and through referrals. A very small percentage of the hiring happens through their private databases as well, but and that's not changed substantially in the last, that's not changed significantly in the last couple of years at least. Now, could there be new players, could new technologies emerge which change the way companies today go about hiring talent? I'm sure enough people are trying, but we have not seen anything material on change on the ground as yet, is what I can say. Of course, we are also trying. You know, like I said, we are also doing a whole bunch of things to see how we can help our clients do their job better. In the end, technology has to be used to solve a business problem. Just the technology in itself is not enough. So the reality is that see, whenever there's a new technology, it opens up new opportunities, right? For incumbents, it also creates new opportunity for startups, right? And we are going to see that with the advent of AI, right? Now, a lot will finally, and now the one thing we have going, two things we have going for us is that we have distribution, which new players lack. Two, we have data, which again, new players lack. And that's something which is like slightly different about this technology than earlier than new technologies, which, you know, which is why you see a Google still, you know, dominating the market, which is why you see Meta also sort of, you know, doing a good job because they have cash which they're able to invest, in AI. Two, they have data which nobody else has, right? And three, they have distribution. You know, so I think we still have these advantages over new players. But yes, we will have to continue to execute well. We will have to be, we should be able to attract good talent. We should be able to launch new products. We'll have to do all that also. It's not, we can't just assume that we're going to succeed.
Great. Thanks. Those were my questions. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Pratik. There is a follow-up question from Vivek from Ambit Capital. Vivek, go ahead and ask your question.
Thanks for the follow-up opportunity. As far as the products that you acquired 4 or 5 years back, Zwayam and DoSelect, are concerned, now that Naukri team members are selling these products and taking these products to more and more customers, I believe you had filed for a merger of these two companies with your core operations, right? When is that likely to be effective? What are the timelines there? And when do you see more scalability of these two businesses? And I think they've done quite well. I think DoSelect better than Zwayam. If you could just discuss about some of the scalability factors for these businesses. Thank you.
You want to answer that question on the merger first? Huh?
Yeah, on the timeline front, you know, right. Like you rightly said, Vivek, that you know we have already filed the papers. I think different NCLT and different you know states have different line, you know, different pendency rate. Some takes years, some takes 2 years. So it's really difficult to predict. Like I said in one of the earlier questions, that for make sense, actually it happened in two phases, but overall, you know, it took almost like 5 years. So I mean it could be a very long drawn process. But in this case, I would expect that maybe it will take another year or maybe maximum 1.5 year. I mean that's my expectation, but it really depends on the dependency.
And to answer your second question, see, we've acquired a bunch of startups over the last few years. You know, Make Sense was actually a company we acquired many years ago. Semantic Search, they were doing semantic search 10 years ago, which, you know, which actually today is like a like AI in that sense. Ambition Box, DoSelect, Zwayam, IIMJobs, Hirist. So, you know, we are very happy with, you know, with what we got from Make Sense. You know, we've been we were able to prove ourselves substantially because of Make Sense. So that's something not which, you know, it did not generate direct revenue for us, but the acquisition really worked out for us. Ambition Box again has scaled up substantially over the last few years, and now we are generating branding revenue from Ambition Box. IIMJobs and Hirist, like I've spoken about them, we scaled up. I mean, they were, Hirist was very, very tiny. It was a very small platform when we acquired it. We've grown the platform over time. IIMJobs also, we've taken it to more customers through the Naukri sales team. And this acquisition also worked out. DoSelect and Zwayam, I like you rightly said, we are happy with the progress we're making in DoSelect. We think we can do a lot better in Zwayam than we've done till now. I mean, Zwayam, I think we'll take a lot more effort than what we put in till now to sort of scale, is my sense.
Okay, and you are currently facing scalability challenges primarily because of the sluggishness in the market, or is there any product or go-to-market challenge also that you have identified?
I think the core issue right now is that the overall hiring market is very modest. So, you know, actually, you know, we were very confident till Q4 of last year, the Naukri business grew by some 16-17%, right? And so therefore, when we budgeted for this year, we assumed that we would grow at least 15-17%. And we gave generous increments, we hired people, we invested like we were going to grow at 15-17%. And then suddenly we saw a dip in Q1, right? Now, was it because of the tariff wars? Was it because of, you know, Iran-Israel war? Was it because of the India-Pakistan skirmish? Was it because of the noise around AI? I don't know, right? But we saw a sudden dip. And Q2 was a little better, but not much has changed on the ground. Now, so the real challenge right now is that, you know, a lot of our big customers are not hiring as much as they were hiring till some time back, right? So whether it's IT services companies, which is, or whether it's recruitment firms who hire through us, their business is not as, they're not hiring as many people as they were hiring earlier, right? And that's impacted Naukri growth more than anything else, core Naukri growth.
Okay, great. Thank you and all the very best.
Thanks, Vivek. So, Vinny, that was the last question for the day we had.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone. On behalf of InfoEdge, we conclude this call. You may disconnect.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, and have a good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
And bye-bye. And before you all go, I mean, I'd like to, this is Chintan's last analyst call. He's moving on. So I'd like to express our appreciation for all that he's done. And I'd like to welcome Ambarish, who's coming in back into the company as the interim CFO. He's on this call as well. So Chintan moves on, Ambarish comes back, but Chintan remains a friend and supporter and is always available to us. Thanks, Chintan, for everything.
Thank you so much. And thanks to all the analysts. I think there's always been great support coming from them. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, everyone. Good evening.